Hello, I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson. Welcome to our worship stream this Sunday. Happy New Year to you. 2020 was a challenging year, to say the least. And we're looking forward to a better year, not just because things will magically turn out better, but hopefully because we are holding on to Jesus better. We are trusting him better. We're walking with him better, helping each other better, and just, you know, resting in the Lord, who is sovereign and who is in control and who has an amazing plan and destiny for your life and for mine. You are welcome to today's worship stream. At Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood or community engagement out of the compelling love of God through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Please feel free to send us your prayer request if you have any. And if you have any comments, don't hesitate to share those with us as well. We would love to read your comments. I hope you had a meaningful Christmas and New Year's celebrations or holidays. And I pray that this year, 2020, as I said earlier, will be better for you, your family, and loved ones, not only in material things, but in health and in the things that really matter, the spiritual and relational things that God intends for us. I pray for renewed love, for faith and hope in Jesus, for you, for me, for all of us. And I pray that you will be committed and passionate about getting to know Jesus and making him known in your sphere of relationships, and that you would endeavor to hold on to him no matter what this year in 2021 as we go through new opportunities, new chances, and new ways, hopefully, of being better together. That our young people will do the same, going to Jesus for friendship, for guidance, for strength, for peace, and true joy. Because indeed, there is joy in the Lord. Have you made any resolutions for 2021? Are you going to keep them? I know it is a fad for resolutions to be made year in, year out. God has resolutions too, if you like. He keeps his resolutions. And today I want to share some of God's resolutions with you today. Now, speaking primarily to Grace Communion Richardson members and our supporters, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart and the hearts of our congregational leadership for your generous financial support and donations throughout 2020, enabling us to be ongoing with our gospel efforts. Thank you. Those of you out there who are moved to join in supporting our gospel work and participating in the life and in the mission of Jesus of love, you can see on the screen some of the ways that you can financially contribute. And we also appreciate your prayers. Of course, your financial donations are tax deductible, and we are grateful. God bless. Now, if you will join our praise team for a praise song, and then we'll come back for today's message on God's resolution to you. Please stay with us.
Come out of sadness, from where you came, come broken heart.
I had a relaxing and resting Christmas with my family. It was an opportunity for us to just get together as a family and put aside all the cares and the stresses and the routine activities that's been going on for quite some time. And it was a good time for that purpose, that is to just relax, to rest, to refresh. And I know that, and I hope that a number of you were able to do something similar. I also know that at the end of the year, a lot of people take stock of what the year's been like for them, and then they think through what they would like to see the new year to be like. And that is where resolutions come in. People make different kinds of resolutions. Do you have a New Year's resolution? What are your New Year's resolutions? Are you going to keep them? Most people have resolutions for themselves. They're gonna lose weight, they're gonna eat better, you know, stuff like that. However, invariably, they consider themselves falling short within a few weeks of the new year, of not being able to keep up with their resolutions. Now, I'm one of those sometimes, you know, I will exercise more and then I find myself not doing nearly as much, if any, exercising. God has resolutions too, if I may use that term. And I want to share some of God's resolution to you. God has resolved, friend, a number of significant things for 2021. God's resolution is not for himself. It is for you. God has resolved to love you unconditionally. God has resolved to accept you and include you in the identity of the Son he loves, Jesus Christ. God has resolved to put his favor and value on you, no matter where you come from, no matter your background. And God resolves to fulfill all of his promises to you in Christ Jesus, to never leave nor forsake you, and to usher you into the fullness of his kingdom with pleasure, with delight, with joy. That's God's resolutions to you. His resolutions, by the way, are not just for 2021. These resolutions that I just shared, they are forever. And interestingly enough, as we go into scripture to look at some of these resolutions, if you please, to you, you recognize that these resolutions are not just now new. They've always been, and God's resolutions for you are in the past, so to speak. They existed before you even came on the scene. You know, they are like a woman anticipating being a mother, even when they're not pregnant yet, and thinking through what kind of mother they are going to be to their child, and having all of these excited, anticipatory dreams, plans for the occasion when it arrives, when it occurs for their child. Unlike a mother having these things, God's are actually concrete plans that he put into place in his Son, Jesus Christ. So let's look at some of these resolutions in the context of scripture. Of course, a resolution is simply a firm decision or being determined or resolute about something. I like the last term even better, resolute about something. And God is resolute about you within the context of some of the things we've already mentioned. And we can see this resoluteness of God, God's firm decision and determination about you in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you don't mind joining me, we'll read Ephesians chapter 1, where, as I said earlier, God's resolutions are described in the past tense because they are a done deal. They're a done deal so far as God is concerned. He has already done everything that is necessary to accomplish these resolutions in Jesus Christ. And they unfold, each of these resolutions unfold from the past as presents in the present, if you please, and into the future through His grace. So the resolution of God are declared in the past, but then they are manifested through the movement of grace as presents to us from now into the future, all in Jesus Christ. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you don't mind joining me in Ephesians 1, and let's start from verse 3. The Apostle Paul was inspired by the Spirit to write this to the church at Ephesus. And in fact, it wasn't only the church at Ephesus that benefited from this letter. I think the letter was shared around Asia Minor at that time. But in verse 3, the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul was inspired to write, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He, God, chose us in Him, Jesus, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His, God's, sight." Wow. Let's pause there for a minute and just contemplate that. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul begins. Why? Because God has blessed us, you and me, in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then he goes on to say, "For God chose us, you and me, in Jesus before the creation of the world." And that's what I was saying about using the metaphor or analogy of the woman anticipating what kind of mother she is going to be to her child. God chose you before the creation of the world, Scripture says, in Jesus, to share with you what I have described as His resolutions to you and to me. Let's go to verse 5. "In love, God predestined us for adoption to children," sonship, daughtership, if you please. God, in love, predestined us for adoption into His family as His children, sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Whenever I read Ephesians 1, these scriptures, I cannot help but be amazed and encouraged and pumped up about the incredible love that God has for me, for you, for all humans. You see, if you read a verse like verse 5, that God put this plan in place for the sole reason of love, for the purpose of love, then it's mind-boggling. It says, it is in love, verse 5, that He brought this predestination, that He predestined, in other words, destined ahead of time, put in place ahead of time before what is yet to come comes. He, in love, set the ball rolling. And He did so through Jesus, making us His sons and daughters. And He did so, friend, as we read, in accordance with His pleasure and will. It wasn't something that was coerced. It wasn't something that was grudging. It wasn't something that was, an afterthought. This is something that He planned because He had pleasure in doing so. God delights in you. God has pleasure in you and wants to share his life of love and of joy with you as his children, as his child, his son, his daughter, forever in Jesus Christ. That's what these verses are saying. And it is to his praise that this is happening. And you see the number of times the praise is mentioned. You see the number of times Jesus and in Christ are mentioned. And I will make a comment about that in due course. But if you see that God blesses you and me with every spiritual blessing in Christ, because he chose you in Jesus before the creation of the world, it is an acknowledgement that we all matter to him. It is an acknowledgement that you matter to him. No matter what your background may be, no matter what your ethnicity may be, no matter what your gender or your age may be, no matter what your circumstances of life may be, God chose you before the creation of the world, giving you the destiny of being his child through Jesus Christ, out of his pleasure and delight in you, and out of his love for you. Please keep that in mind as you go through this new year, 2021. Never you forget that. Filter everything that you go through in life through this understanding that God knows you, and we're going to talk about that in a few Sundays hence, and that God cares for you, and God has a plan for you, and this is before you even came on the scene. He has his eyes, his value on you. And that's enough reason, friend, to start the new year with praise. To exclaim this year, you know, as we do with each day, this is the year the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it because we know he is in it with us as our Father, as Father, Son, and Spirit, helping, guiding, leading, blessing with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then in verses 7 to 10, he goes on to say, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he, God, lavished on us. Now, let me say something about this forgiveness. First, recognize that this is being spoken about in the past tense. In other words, God has already forgiven you. How? Well, through his Son, who is the redemptive one. The redemptive one is Jesus, the one who redeems us. So in Jesus, Paul reminds us, we have redemption through his blood. And forgiveness is available to all of us. See, God does not wait for us to say, Lord, I am sorry, in order to forgive us. He already forgives us, and then we respond by accepting that forgiveness. Lord, I accept your forgiveness for me. Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner, that I am weak, that I am limited, and I thank you for your grace of forgiveness and redemption through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That I do not have to worry about sin because you've taken care of the problem and issue of sin through your redemptive one, Jesus, the one who redeems. And you've forgiven us in accordance with the riches of your grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. That's an interesting addition by the Apostle Paul when he talks about redemption and forgiveness. all wisdom and understanding about the issue of sin, about the issue of forgiveness and redemption. What's he really saying here? He says, look, God is wiser than we are, and God understands us better than we do ourselves. He knows what your weaknesses and sins are. He knows what my sins and weaknesses and limitations are. He knows each and every one of them. Nothing is hidden from him. Whatever it is done in secret, he's aware of it. Whatever is done in the dark, he shines light on it. And he knows. And God is wise to our thoughts, our desires, our actions, whether in secret or not. And he understands. And he forgives because he understands. And he forgives because of his son, Jesus. Because of his redemptive role in our lives, in our stories, in Jesus Christ. He forgives. He forgives not because he's ignorant, is what this verse is saying. He forgives not because we're able to pull the wool over his eyes. No, he forgives because he understands, and he is wise. And he loves us. Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Again and again, you see this word, pleasure and delight and praise. That is to tell us, friends, that God is doing this not grudgingly. God is not interested in you out of grudging responsibility or duty. No, God is interested in you out of delight, out of pleasure, out of joy, out of love. And he makes known to us the mystery of his will. And his will is mysterious, so far as I'm concerned. It's a mystery to me why and how God is interested in little old me. It's a mystery. But he is. And his will for you and for me is life, is love, is joy, is victory, all in his son, Jesus Christ. So he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Verse 10, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now you see in this verse again and again and again and again being pointed to who? To Jesus Christ. Jesus is the plan for your life and my life. Without Jesus, nothing else matters. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to God except through him. That may be a controversial statement to make, but that's what Scripture says. And Jesus is the one who holds everything together for you, for me. All God's promises to you and to me, for you and for me, are in Christ Jesus. They're only attainable through Jesus. They're all yes in Jesus. You are forgiven and redeemed in Christ. You are given every spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms in Christ. You are included in his identity, the identity of Jesus. You are provided the incredible and amazing grace and opportunity of being a child of God in Christ Jesus. And God's grace or favor or gifts or promises to you in Jesus are made manifest. In other words, they are spread over time. God does not give us everything at once, and that's why we are chronological beings. We live in Chronos time, even though he, God, is a Kairos God. We live in Chronos, and he, over time, shares this mystery of his will with us. And it is like, you know, if you remember, just a few days ago, we had Christmas and all these gifts that the people gave to us and that we gave to others. And there was this anticipation of unwrapping gifts and seeing what is in it. That's how God kind of is dealing with us in spreading out his gifts of grace to us. You know, my wife allowed our daughter to have these gifts, and she had to open gifts each day, different gifts that she finds when she opens. And that's kind of how God did it. She didn't have to open all of the gifts on quote-unquote Christmas morning. Yeah, she opened some of the gifts on Christmas morning, but even before, in anticipation to the day of Christmas and beyond the day of Christmas, she was opening at least one gift or two a day. That is how God deals with us, friends. He has spread over time his gifts of grace, and we unwrap them as needed. We unwrap the gift of healing as needed. We unwrap the gift of peace as needed. We unwrap the gift of understanding and trust in God, so to speak. We go through life holding on to these gifts that are given to us in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we see a gift and we ask, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? We don't know yet what to do with the gift of grace that we have in Jesus. And sometimes we're not even aware that the gift is still sitting there and that we need to look at it and unwrap it and rejoice in it. But God's gifts of grace are spread over time like a present unwrapped for each appointed occasion. They are in Jesus and are made whole or complete in Him. In other words, these gifts come together in Christ in a holistic way. Sometimes it's difficult for us to see the wholeness of the picture because we have these gifts in disparate times in our mind, but they are not disparate to God. He knows what He's doing, what He's bringing together in that tapestry of a gift in His Son that He gives to each of us. And it is beautiful when we're able to have a 30 feet above ground look at what He is doing. When we're able to have a drone look down on what God is doing, so to speak, in our lives, then we recognize the wholeness in Jesus of what He is presenting to us, His gifts of grace. His presence, like trust, like peace, like joy, like hope, like perseverance, like rest, healing, patience, victory. They are gifts that God gives to us. They are spiritual blessings that God gives to us in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying here when he talks about the appointed times. In verse 10, to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So we go through this chronological time and God brings things into fruition at the appointed times in Jesus Christ on our behalf. And sometimes because we are human, because we are who we are, we don't like waiting. And we don't like God's timing more often than not. We want everything now. We are the now generation of the world. I speak more about myself than you. I like things now. I can't wait. I don't have very much patience for waiting for a lot of things. And yet God works with us patiently to lead us to these appointed times, these epochs, these milestones, these ahas in our lives because of His gracious gifts in Jesus Christ. Let's go to verses 11 to 14. It says, in Him, in Jesus, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. First, you note that. It says that we were chosen, again in the past tense. Having been predestined, again in the past, according to the plan. So God has a plan for all of us. And that plan is Jesus. That plan is worked out in the spread of time in our lives. And it is done to conform to the purpose of God's will. So that we, who put our hope in Christ, he says, maybe, might be for the praise of His glory. In other words, we've been called, and as we put our hope in Jesus, we participate in God's plan, who is Jesus, which is in Jesus. And as we participate in the plan of God for our lives, it leads to God being praised. We cannot but praise God when we understand what He has done for us, what He is doing for us, and what He will yet do in Christ for us. The victory that He's already won for us, the destiny that He has in mind for us. We cannot but to praise. That's our response. I'll say a little bit about that later. This response of praise. And you see that word again and again in this passage of Scripture, just as you see again and again Jesus Christ being mentioned. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That's what this scripture is saying. In everything pertaining to life, love, and relationship with God and with each other, Jesus is Lord. So verse 12, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Verse 13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's another way of saying when you hear the message of truth, when you hear the gospel of salvation, you realize that, oh, I am included. I am part of this plan. I am part of this destiny that God has for all of humanity. The gospel tells us that. The good news shows us that, that in Jesus we are redeemed and that we are included in the plan of God for our lives. When you believed, you were marked in Him, in Jesus, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14, who, the Spirit, is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. Wow. So you are chosen, friends. You are favored. You are valued. You are included in God's plan, in God's purpose and will, because God loves you. Your response is participation. Your response is belief. Your response is marked or being identified or set apart or flipped, if I may use that language that real estate people use, by and through the Spirit who makes the difference in all of this. So it is the Spirit, the Apostle Paul was inspired to let us know. But all of what we've read from verses 3 through 14 is made possible by the Spirit. It is the Spirit that provides the understanding of what God is doing in our lives through Jesus Christ. And it is the Spirit that seals, that guarantees that it is a done deal. It is not by us. Even our responses to it, to the praise and glory of God, is by the Spirit. So, that's what I mean when I say that God has done everything that is needed through His Son and by the power of His Spirit to bring about His destiny for you. And that destiny is to share His life of love, of joy, forever with you as His child in Jesus Christ. And our response of praise and worship. Our response of praise and worship. And this, again, is stated in the past tense because it's a done deal for you. That's God's resolution to you. And His resolutions to you is a done deal. He's not going to renege on it. He's not going to fail. It is impossible for Him to renege or fail. We are told this in Hebrews chapter 6. And I want to conclude with that scripture. Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 17 to 20. We told by the writer of Hebrews, verse 17, the sixth chapter of Hebrews, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose the purpose we just read about in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. The writer of Hebrews is saying that because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, and you know, we are the heirs. In Ephesians chapter 1, the verse that says that he chose us, or you were chosen, the word chosen is really in the Greek referring to us being heirs. So we were made heirs. That's another translation of that word chosen there. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that God confirms this unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, God's resolutions to you are a done deal. Why? Because God has an unchangeable or unchanging nature to the purpose and to the plan that he has. And he says the two unchangeable things about all of this. And the first of the two unchangeable things is that God is a faithful God. God himself cannot deny himself. He is who he is. And so when God says something, it comes to pass. Then he says on top of that, he confirms what he is saying with an oath. So it's not enough that God said, I am going to do this. But God confirms, I am going to do this with an oath. And so that these two unchangeable things guarantee that what God has resolved concerning you and me shall come to pass. And as a result, the writer of Hebrews says that we can be greatly encouraged by it. We have no reason to doubt the seriousness of God or reason to doubt the faithfulness of God in accomplishing his resolutions for you and for me. And so as a result, we have this hope that is like an anchor. You know what an anchor does? It steadies a boat or a ship so that it doesn't stray away. It keeps a boat or a ship in the general area that it needs to be. And this anchor, the writer of Hebrews tells us, is for our souls. And it is firm and secure because of this hope in the unchanging and faithful nature in God. It enters the inner sanctuary, this hope, behind the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever, he goes on, in the order of Melchizedek. So, friend, that's why I say it is a done deal. God's resolutions for you are true, they are faithful, they are unchanging, and they are guaranteed through the Spirit of God. What do you say to all of this? To God's resolutions to you? I hope your response through his Spirit is one of belief, is one of acceptance, is one of praise. I hope it is a response of participation in the gospel of salvation, in the message of truth, in the identity and life of love of Jesus. I pray that your response include joining others who are on the same journey. You don't have to do this life alone. You can do it with Jesus, and you can do it with others who are doing it with Jesus. Amen. I look forward to seeing you next time as we journey together to know Jesus and to make him known, sharing his love, his hope, and his faith in worship, in family fellowship, and in neighborhood engagements as we encourage one another in Jesus Christ. Let's conclude with a praise song from our praise team, from Grace Communion Richardson, and happy and joyful New Year, as I hope to see you next Sunday. God bless.
Yeah. I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.